Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast for the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you haven't already, we encourage you to check out our audio archive at vineyardcampbellsville.org. You can also subscribe on iTunes or wherever you like to get podcasts. And now, here's this week's message brought to you by Senior Pastor Adam Russell.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. It's a chatty room today. So chatty. Everybody good? Who still needs to go on vacation? Not wants to, but like you're going on. Who's still going on vacation this year?
Wednesday.
Where are you going?
Italy.
Italy?
Yes.
Why are you not taking me?
I mean, buy a ticket, come on.
I don't want to buy a ticket. I want you to buy me a ticket. Bentley, where are you going?
Florida.
You're going to, when are you going to Florida?
Late July.
Okay, late July? Okay. Jackson, where are you going?
Brevard.
Let's go. Take me with you. Some of you are like, is this having anything to do with the sermon? No. I just want to feel the happiness, you know? Yeah. All right, here's what we're up to today. We are in Isaiah 61. We've been there for a few weeks. We're going to be there for a couple more. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 61, that'd be great. Or you could just power up your phone. Or if none of that works, we're going to put it on the screen for you as well. Not quite yet, Seth. Don't get ahead of me, okay? Don't steal my... Some of you are like, why are you talking so mean to Seth? Well, that's my son, and it's not me. It's direct. Here's what I want to do this morning, though, before we get into the text. I want to start here with this question. Do you know why you're here? And I don't mean just like in this room this morning, but I mean like on the planet. Do you know why you were born? Do you know why you exist? I mean, I want to go extremely meta-existential just for a moment. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you're here? I want to start there because one of the things that every person needs their reason for being. Like you need meaning. You need purpose. You need a reason for being here. There's some other things you need. You need food. You need water. You need shelter. You need clothing. But to that list, I would also add meaning. You need your daily intake of calories met, but you also need a reason for living beyond just calorie acquisition or gene dispersal. You need something more. Without meaning, people wither away. The reason I wanted to start there is because one of the troubles with modern life is that we live in a really fractured world. We live in a really fractured world, and part of what happens in the modern world is there's something about our arrangement that has a way of causing meaning to almost just like float away. In fact, a lot of people struggle with meaning. One of the consequences of postmodernism is lack of meaning. Postmodernism is a cultural philosophy that essentially says there is no meta-narrative, meaning there is no meta-truth or meta-story that we all live inside of. Postmodernism also says, right along with that, not only is there no meta-narrative and meta-truth, but because of that, everybody can just sort of like make up their own. In fact, that's kind of what you have to do. You just have to make your own meaning. And one of the issues with that is, well, how many of you get really tired of having to make things up all the time? You know, one of the consequences of postmodernism, no meta-narrative, no absolute truth is, well, then you're left to make your own meaning and that can become like absolutely fatiguing. Or two, you just decide this is a meaningless world. You go full nihilism. There is no meaning. One response wears you out, but the other one hollows you out. And the net result of both is despair. Some of you may be aware of this or you may not be aware. There's a couple pathways into despair. One pathway into despair is overwork and fatigue. You can fatigue yourself into despair. You can fatigue yourself into despair by having to constantly struggle to create meaning out of life. But you can also hollow yourself out to despair. If you live in a world where there is no meaning and you just sort of go full on nihilistic, let go of the rope. There's a reason why despair and despondency is a feature of the modern world. It also has roots in our human appetites, even in trivial things. I don't know about you guys, but one of the things I need every day is a new podcast because silence is terrifying. I need to buy something pretty often because maybe the dopamine hit will make me feel something, you know? And I need the next thing, the next event, the next trip, because slowing down means coming face to face with emptiness. But sometimes it's all a mask for the really quiet hum of despair that's running in the background. This is why you and I need meaning. You can't podcast yourself out of meaninglessness. You can't buy yourself out of meaninglessness. And you can't put something on the calendar to make the meaninglessness go away. It's just there. All right, back to this series. So we're in this series called The Restoration Project, and what we've been noticing is God's heart to restore. So at the beginning of Isaiah 61, what we notice is that God restores people. The brokenhearted, he binds up. Those who are mourning, they get joy. The prisoners and the captives get set free. Those with a spirit of heaviness, garments of praise. Like the very beginning of the Spirit's work is his heart to restore people. But what we noticed last week was that God doesn't just restore people. In fact, he begins to restore places. It says in verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. And part of what we did last week was we just started noticing, number one, that we live in a really great place. Like Central Kentucky is actually really awesome. It really is true. The painting down on Hardin Coffee, Central Kentucky is the future. It really is true. It really is true. But how many of you notice that even though Central Kentucky is the future and even though Central Kentucky is a great place, how many of you have ever noticed that there's issues? Yeah. And so God wants to restore people, but we also believe that the Spirit wants to restore places. He wants to do something. And here's really the trick. God wants to take the people that he restores. He wants them to restore the places. You know, it's really, really wonderful. But it's not the only thing that God wants to restore. This week, we're going to look at verses 5-9 and notice that he doesn't just renew people or places, but he also renews purpose and meaning. Purpose and meaning. The work of the Spirit is number one, restored people. Number two, restored places. And then restored purpose. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't know why. You know, you're like, I don't even know why I came to church. Someone made me come with them, you know? Or maybe you're here and at that deeper existential level, you don't know why. You're like, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. You know, I don't know if I have a reason for being. And I just want you to know that the Spirit of God would want to talk to you this morning and would want to give you a new purpose. So we're going to read the text. And Seth, let's start with verse 5 this morning. Just getting right to it. Here's what Isaiah says. After restoring people and places, verse 5, he says, strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. Our key text this morning. And you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. You'll feed on the wealth of nations. And in their riches, you will boast. Instead of shame, you'll receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you'll inherit a double portion in your land and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. That's our text this morning. Seth, maybe we can go back to 5 and 6. 5 and 6, we're going to start there. First thing I want to do before we even get into the meat of what I want to say is I just want you to notice that there is something here that's maybe a little difficult, especially verse 5. Some of you might hear that passage this morning and you think, maybe there's something a little difficult there. Verse 5 starts with, foreigners will work your fields for you. They'll feed your flock. They'll tend your sheep. And you might be thinking, I don't know about this. This feels really weird to modern ears. And by the way, you'd be right. Like, is the good news simply that we have God on our side so we get to dominate others, you know? So if you were hearing that, good for you. And number two, does having God on our side mean we can make others do what we don't want to do? No, that's not exactly the way it works. Not only that, but I don't even think that's what Isaiah was saying. Part of what you have to understand in Isaiah 61 is that Isaiah is prophesying to a people who are coming out of exile. So they're the ones who have been tending someone else's sheep. They're the ones who have been tending someone else's field. They're the ones who have been working for their Babylonian overlords. And so part of what we see here is that prophetic promise that all the things that have happened to you, God is going to turn it back upside down. Did you notice in those first verses in the few weeks that we had here together early on, how there's all these reversals? God says to the brokenhearted, I'm going to what? I'm going to comfort you and bind it up, right? To the prisoners and the captives, I'm going to what? Release. For those who don't have joy, what do you get? You get joy. For those who have lost their way, what do? You have your way found. And the ancient cities and the ruined places get what? Rebuilt. So every single thing in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 4, it's just reverse, reverse, reverse. And so by the time we get to 5 and 6, God's intention is to tell these people who have been slaves, listen, everything's going to turn around for you. Every single thing is going to turn around for you. So how do you read it? I read it as prophetic reversal. Now what I want you to do is I want you to look at verse 6 because I think it's the centerpiece of the purpose and prosperity that God intends to give people. He says this, you will be called priests of the Lord. The Spirit of God renews people, then the Spirit of God renews places, and then the Spirit of God gives purpose by extending a calling and by extending a new role for you. And Isaiah would say to us this morning, I think, you will be called priests of the Lord. So here's what I want to do very quickly this morning. I want to talk about 5 manifestations of priestly purpose. Seth, maybe we can put that up. Some of you like taking notes. We're going to do this real quick this morning. 5 manifestations of priestly purpose. Number one, they represent the people to God. I forgot the D there. Look at that. That's not Seth's fault. That's my fault. They represent the people to go. Good job, Adam. They represent God to the people. They make room for forgiveness and cleansing. They tend sacred space. They live set apart, but for the sake of others. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about 5 manifestations of priestly purpose. And what I want you to hear in this is an invitation from God for you to live your life with a different kind of mindset, to live your life with a different kind of orientation, because God is actually calling you to be restored, to restore places, but then to become a different kind of person. And it's a priest. Number one, here's what priests do. They represent the people to go. Just kidding. To God. Here's what priests do in the Old Testament. They carried burdens, sins, and longings, the sins and the burdens and the longings of the people, and they carried them into God's presence. I want to read you one little scripture this morning. This is from Exodus 28. Seth, I think I have it. I don't know if I misspelled anything on this slide or not. If I did, forgive me. Here's what it says in Exodus 28. Engrave the names of the sons of Israel on the 2 stones the way a gem cutter engraves a seal. Then mount the stones in gold filigree settings and fasten them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod like a garment. As memorial stones for the sons of Israel, Aaron is to bear the names on his shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. Okay, so here's what this is. there's a stone for every tribe in Israel. And the priests wore them on their garments. And when they went into the presence of the Lord, they were taking the stones that represent the tribes into God's presence. Why? Because priests represent the people to God. Some of you are like, well, what's my purpose in this world? Here's part of your purpose in this world, to represent people to God. To represent people to God. Priests carry the pain, the longing, and the needs of others before God. They become the ones who pray when others can't. They speak, God have mercy over the mess of the world. And here's what I mean by that. Let's make this very practical for a moment. This is why at the end of every service at the Vineyard, we pray for people. Why? Because we're priests and we want to represent those around us back to God. How many of you know that people in general love to be prayed for? I've told you this over and over through the years. I have prayed for so many people, both here in the Vineyard, in the building, but then out in public, in all kinds of places, at Kroger, on trains, in airports, in all kinds of places. And one of the things that still surprises me to this day is how often when you approach someone, you find out some bit of their story, you begin to experience their need or the vacancy in their life, and you say, you know what, could I pray with you or for you? And I'm always expecting them to say what? No, I'm always expecting them to say no. And you know what they always say? Yes, yes, all the time. And you know who else says yes? It's not just Christians who say yes. Everyone says yes. I've prayed for atheists in the middle of public, in the middle of town. I've prayed for people who are far from God and actually don't even believe in God. And you begin to nose up some bit of their story and you find that little hole in their life. And you're like, you know what? Would it be all right if I just prayed with you? Would you care? I'm like, I'm a pastor. I'm a professional at this. Do you care if I pray with you or something? And you know what they always say? People just say yes. Why? Because instinctively we know we just need sometimes what we need is somebody who would just take our life back to God for us. Can I tell you part of your purpose is to be a priest in this world, especially for the weak, especially for the lost, especially for the hurting, especially those who feel like they're a little too far away, especially for the sick, especially for those who feel condemned for any number of reasons, and just to say, you know what, you don't even have to tell them this, but internally you should be thinking, I'm a priest. What I do is I just go to God. I go to God. I can go to God. I've been qualified to do it. I've got little stones on my shoulders. I wear the names of my community and I go in before God. And all you have to do is like, you say, can I just pray for you? That's one way to be a priest. You just hold some space and you invite people. Hey, would you like to come back into God's presence? It's been a long time. Maybe you haven't done this in forever. Maybe you don't even know how to pray. Maybe you're like really far from God and you don't even know how to pray. I know how to pray. Could we just go into God's presence together? Could we do that? And you know what? They always say yes. They always say yes. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed with people at Kroger. Not because I'm a super Christian, just because people are so open. You know, you'll talk to somebody there beside the avocados and you find out that they have a kid who's far from God and it's terrorizing them. You know, they really do. They have like a prodigal son or daughter. This happened not long ago. Someone told me about their kid who grew up in church and kind of lost his way. And right there next to the avocados, I just said to this lady, I said, well, what if we just prayed for him? She's like, I wish you would. I'm like, what if we did it now? And she was like, here? I was like, yeah. I'm like, just keep your eyes open. Don't bow your head. Keep your eyes open. And I'm just going to touch my cart to yours. She thought that was funny. That's 100% what I did. We're just going to touch carts. Okay. Like, and I held mine and she held hers. And we just started praying. And all of a sudden right there in the produce aisle in Kroger, we just turned it into a temple, right? Why? Because priests are the connecting point between heaven and earth. Priests represent the people back there. And we just said, God, would you remember this child who has just, you know, wandered far from you? And Lord, you even told stories about prodigals. That's what we were praying. Lord, you told stories about prodigals. In your story, would you remember this one? And I'm telling you, right there by the avocados, you know, there's like a little thing right there. And it made that sound too. It didn't, but I imagined it did. Yeah. Yeah, you could be a, this is part of your purpose. Part of your purpose is to just carry an awareness that we can go to God all the time. And you could be the person who brings someone in. Do you know how most people meet Jesus, by the way? Like, the numbers are staggering. Most people don't meet Jesus from reading the Bible on their own. And almost no one meets Jesus at a crusade. Like, the number, like, I don't, it doesn't matter how many people that Billy Graham preached in front of. Like, the numbers of people who meet Jesus, it's ridiculous. The overwhelming majority of people who meet Jesus meet him because someone in their family or their friend talked to them about Jesus and said, let's go to God. Why? Because you're called to be a priest. You're the person in charge. Everywhere you go, you're the person in charge. You're the priest. Priests represent the people to God. Number two, let's go faster. Priests represent God to the people. Back to the people. Priests teach, they blessed, and they reveal the heart of God. There's a little passage I love. It's in Numbers. It's the Aaronic blessing. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Yeah. Part of what priests also do is they remind the people that there is a God. Priests speak hope when others feel despair. They name beauty when people forget. They say, it's still here. They remind us that God is good even when life is not. Can I tell you part of what your purpose is everywhere you go? To remind everybody around you that God is good even when their life isn't. Why? That's priestly work. To remind people that there is a God, even when there's struggle or even when there's difficulty, part of your purpose in life, part of the deep meaning is for you to remember God, not only for yourself, but for everybody else. And go, you know what? Don't forget about God. How many of us need reminding of God and our life in him when things are not going our way? Has that ever happened to you? Anybody here ever had a rough patch? If you haven't, you will. Yeah, eventually it happens. You'll have a rough patch and you need somebody to remind you of God. Can I tell you another time in your life when you need reminded of God? When life is going your way. Ooh. I have a friend who reminds me of God when I'm winning. I have this one friend and he has a special anointing. When I'm killing, he reminds me, don't forget God. I mean, he literally does this in my life. Adam, you think you're pretty hot? You're not that hot. It's gonna turn around, you know? And he's not even being Eeyore. He's just saying, don't get too big. Don't get too big. Remember God. You didn't do this. Remember God. This week, Heather and I, this was like go visit friends and have dinner week, all week long. But this week, Heather and I, we shared a dinner with some almost lifelong friends. And right before we ate, they led us in the Lord's Prayer. It was so simple. You know what that is? It's 30 seconds of priesting. That's what that is. It's remembering that there is a God and that this is his world. What is that? Like when you invite somebody over to your house and you're like, hey, before we eat, we're gonna just pray the Lord's Prayer together. You know what that is? Priestly. That is priesting. It's reminding everybody in the room, there is a God, this is his world, welcome to it. You know? Life isn't just schedules and pick up and drop off. It isn't just deadlines and practice. Life isn't just a fight. Life is a gift. And it's inundated with the life of God. And here's what you and I need. You need a priest to remind you. That's your job, by the way. You just remind people. And that doesn't mean, you know, get your holy pants on and kill everybody's fun. That's not what it means. But it is an invitation for you and I. Like some of us are like, I need deep meaning. Some of you here are thinking, I really hate my job. I hate it. I need deep meaning. You might be even thinking, I need a new job. Well, maybe you do. Or maybe you just need to lean into being a priest for the next year. Maybe deep meaning doesn't just come from what you do. Maybe it comes from who you are and what God has asked you to do. We represent the people to God, but we also represent God to the people. We just remind people. Number three, priests make room for forgiveness and cleansing. Priests mediated healing and restoration when people were unclean, sinful, or ashamed. Here's something from Leviticus. Some of you are like, oh no, we're reading Leviticus this morning. We are. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them and they'll be forgiven. By the way, guys, that's the Old Testament. Even in the Old Testament, you could have somebody just forgive you. Isn't that amazing? By the way, you know who else said that? Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus says to his disciples in John 20, if you forgive people, they're what? They're forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, guess what they're not? They're not forgiven. Whoa, that's why. Jesus was saying, you have a priestly call in this world to like cleanse and forgive people, to show mercy. The modern frame on this is something like this. People are priests when they won't let shame have the last word in somebody's life. Priests are the ones who say, you're not filthy, you're not finished, instead you're forgiven. Jesus gives his followers the Spirit and he tells them to get busy with the priestly work of forgiving, just extending forgiveness in this world. Paul talks about the work of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, like, we've actually been called into this work of reconciliation. What are we doing? Part of the reconciling work is just to show up and find people who feel ashamed and tell them, you can be restored, you are forgiven. You feel like crap, but that's not how God feels about you. You feel like lower than grass, but that's not how God feels about you. You are not filthy, you are not finished, you are forgiven. By the way, people all over the world feel shame. They feel the weight of their sin. Maybe even some people who are here this morning. By the way, you can't sin and not know it. Somewhere in your cells, it's there. You can't miss the mark and not know it. Somewhere in your cells, it's there. It's there. The Bible says some amazing things. The Bible says if you confess your sins to God, you'll be forgiven. And then the Bible also says if you confess your sins to one another, you'll be healed. Guess who needs to help you with that? Somebody who's got a priestly mindset and says, you know what? I'm here to extend God's grace and mercy. I'm here to find people who are struggling with shame, people who feel weighed down by the just the extent of their getting it wrong, and to cut that off of them and say, you know what? You're not finished. Instead, you're forgiven. That's what priests do. But we have the power to set people free in the mighty name of Jesus. Here's something I'll guarantee you will happen if you look for it. I'll guarantee you that before the end of the week, before we meet again next Sunday, if you look for it, you'll have a chance to cut shame and guilt off of people. Somebody will come to you this week and be like, oh, dude, you won't believe what I'm into. It happens all the time. And you can just look at them and go, why don't we just turn it loose? You're forgiven in Jesus' name. Let's go, you know? This is the way it works. Number four, this is maybe my favorite one. Priests tend sacred space. They kept holy places in order and protected and sacred. Leviticus chapter 6, 12 and 13. This is one of my favorite weird Leviticus verses. The fire, this is what it says. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Guess whose job it was to keep the fire burning? It was the priest's job. Guess what your call in this life is to the world? Don't let the fire go out. Some of you are like, man, I need meaning in my life. Well, here's some meaning for you. Don't let the fire go out. What? The fire of God's presence, the fire of an awareness of God in this world. Don't let it, tend it. Don't let it go out. Put another log on the fire. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offerings on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Here's what priests do. They create spaces, physical, emotional, and spiritual, where people can encounter God. Don't let the fire go out. A priest might be the person who lights the candles in the middle of chaos. There's a very good chance that every person in this room is going to enter into some kind of chaos this week. It might be the chaos in your family. It might be chaos in your neighborhood. It might be chaos at work. And if you are a priest, you can go into the chaos and you can light a candle. You can say, you know what? We're not going to let the fire go out. Maybe things are going really bad at work. You can be the person who comes in and goes, you know what? We're going to put another log on the fire. God is here. We are not going to let this go in another direction. I'm going to create some sacred space so that the King of Peace can rule and reign in this place. A priest is the person who keeps the sacred fire burning in a cynical world. By the way, people are inundated with cynicism. Back to that postmodern thing. If you have to make up the story all the time, or if you just decide there is no story and there is no meaning, that is a one-way ticket into cynicism. And if you want to live into deeper meaning, you become a priest. You keep the fire burning. And part of the fire that we're keeping burning is we're warming up the night against the cynical world. Like, it's the easiest thing. Modern American, it's so easy just to be cynical. I already know about that. All right, yeah, whatever. No, we're the people who create sacred space by keeping the fires burning. Two things here. How do you think about your home? And I'm talking about the place you live. The place you live. Did you know that you could make your home sacred space? Not just for your children, not just the place where you watch kid shows or whatever, you know, not just a place where there's Play-Doh or food, but did you know that your home could be sacred space? Have you ever walked into a home and you're like, there is something in here, like in a good way? Like you walked in and you're like, I feel better in here. You ever been in anybody's house like that? Like you go in and you're just like, there is a, I'm making that sound. I'm doing a lot of sound effects today. There's something like heavy. There's something here. In the Old Testament, the word for God's glory, it has to do with weight. Glory, the root word for glory is weight. It's heavy. It's like, did you know that you could arrange your house so that there'd be something weighty inside? Not even just clean, but something weighty, you know, something extra. How do you think about your home? What if you arranged your home to be a meeting place with God? And that when people came in, even if it was just a neighborhood kid to get a popsicle, they'd be like, something's good in here. You know? And then number two, you and I, we can be the people who set the tone in any moment. I have a friend who is genius at this. It might be a birthday party. It might be a random dinner. It might be the beginning of a moment or the end of a thing. But I have this one friend who always has this knack of drawing our attention back to God. And he does it in a way that doesn't feel like you're being Jesus juked. You know? It's not like he's like shaming us because we laughed a little bit too much and nobody said Jesus in the last 30 minutes. It isn't that, you know? But he just has this knack for being able to, remind us that life is wonderful and God is here. And what if we turned our attention to him? What is that? That's priesting. And he's just making sacred space. He's keeping the fires burning in a cynical world. Number five, priests live set apart. Not for their own sake, but for the sake of others. Sometimes I'm tempted to be a person who's living set apart. But just for my sake, because it would be simpler. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to like build a bigger fence around my house and a gate. And I want a new lock on all my doors. You know, please leave me alone. No, that's not good. Here's what's weird. In the Old Testament, the priests didn't own land. They were the one tribe who didn't have any land. In Numbers chapter 18, the Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I love this. I am your share. I love that. Yeah. There's something about the reason they didn't have any land is because they were completely set apart to keep the fire burning, right? So, I hear like 8 things in there, but part of what I hear in there is sometimes the doorway to more is having less. Like, what if part of priesting was just simply letting go of some stuff? Like the water bottle. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just being silly. Yeah. There is something there. Set apart. The world says live one way or the other, but we could live in another way. What if we could consistently take less so we could give more? You know? What if we were to say, you know what? God, you will be my portion. You'll be my inheritance. What if? Well, today, some of us in the room maybe thought that God was just going to forgive us. Or maybe we came to Jesus so we could get our life a little bit better. But what I would like to do this morning is I would like to remind you that you're actually being called. You're not just being forgiven. And God doesn't want to just improve your life by 20% this year and 10% next year. You know, God actually wants to call you. God wants to give you a purpose, and he wants to give you deep meaning. And what if you were being restored so that you could carry something sacred? You know, what if God wasn't just redoing your life to make it 18% better? But what if he was actually calling you and he was restoring you so that you could carry something precious? I think that's the invitation this morning. So if you're on the band this morning, why don't you come on up? And if you are not in the band this morning, why don't you stand up? And we're going to do a little prayer, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to have a moment to respond to God.
Thanks again for stopping by the podcast of the Vineyard Church in Campbellsville, Kentucky. If you'd like to keep up with what's happening at the Vineyard, you can follow us on social media. Until next time.